The message is called Loneliness That Pride Produces. Now, one message I preach, Escaping Loneliness. Second one is Loneliness That Comes From God. Last time I preached about loneliness that God gives. How many of you know God will sometimes bring loneliness into your life for a season? People of God have always experienced that. When God wants to do something great in your life, He will make you separate you. That's what it's called, sanctify yourself. Separate yourself from somewhere. Okay? If we usually as people, we don't like to separate ourselves. We like to be in a crowd, you know. We can hide in a crowd, you know. We don't have to deal with our own self in a crowd. Right? But when we're left alone, we get to deal with who we are. Many times, when we're left alone, God will, through Holy Spirit, remind us what we've said in a group of people. Okay? And sometimes it's very uncomfortable. Okay? You would be driving after some party and you're like, why did I say that? Man, that hurt a person. You know, I didn't mean it, but, you know, I just had to say something. You know, when we're left alone, we're able to deal and face with reality. Amen? We're faced with reality. And so Abraham was left alone. Moses was left alone for 40 years. David was left alone. He was in the wilderness, in the desert, hiding himself. Joseph was left alone. He was actually sold by his own brothers into the Egyptian slavery. And then he was accused and put in prison, even worse. And spent there about 13 to 15 years alone, without any family. When God wants to do something great in your life, He'll take you away from your family. Abraham, leave your father's house and let me take you to a land that I will show you. And there I will bless you and make you a great nation. That's the word of God. And so sometimes we feel alone and we're like, God, what is going on? And God is saying, listen, I'm trying to do something in your life. Listen, if you never feel lonely, you're not a leader. Leaders will feel lonely. People who have a great purpose of God on their life will always feel lonely. A lot of you might think, why are you preaching on this message? Give us something positive and encouraging. It is. I'm just giving you the truth. The truth will set you free and make you live positive and encouraging. A lot of people wonder, when God begins to do something in their life, let's say you suddenly become successful financially. How many of you know that there's going to be some kind of a friction even in your family and with your friends? And a lot of times people wonder, God, why is this happening to me? Why is there such friction, you know, in these areas? And a lot of times we are so dependent on the opinion of our family and friends that God cannot do anything to us. Because we're not dependent on what He's saying into our life, but we're dependent, what is Mama going to think? What's my brother's going to think? So what God is wanting to do, He wants to make us people of no reputation. You know that Jesus was a man of no reputation? That means He was free from opinions of people. And so it cannot happen while you are in a crowd with your family. And I'm not bashing families. I love families. I mean, I love you guys. But sometimes God will do that. He will separate you and to the point where you're like, you know what? It doesn't matter what they think anymore. It matters what God thinks. And I know in my personal life, sometimes Mom would try to give me motherly advice. And, you know, when it's good advice, I take it. But sometimes it's just different advice than what God has given me. And I'm like, Mom, I'm just going to do what God. And I have no bitter feelings. I'm just like, Mom, no, I'm just going to do this. And I'm like, wow. Before, I would be so attached to that opinion. Oh, you know, Mom, well, if your mom doesn't approve of you, who would, right? There's a saying. If your mom doesn't support you, who would? And that's a worldly mentality. But there's a time when we have to break free from that. Because what happens is we cannot move with God if we're dependent on the opinion of even closest to us. Now we need to respect them, right? Honor them, if that goes against the decision that God is giving you, Bible says it's we need to listen to God rather than man. And so what God does, He separates you for a time, and sometimes it's a long time. Usually we want to be separated. Okay, for a month I can handle it. For 3 months it's okay. For 2 years, yeah. But if you look at the Bible, it's for a long period of time. I noticed when we started this church, I was so dependent on what people from other churches will say. Even how I preached, I wanted to be, you know, so I wouldn't offend the other churches or even the church that I grew up in. I just want to be so pleasing to man. And the problem is, when we are people pleasers, we can't be God pleasers. And there's such a liberty. Listen to me. There's such freedom to know that I want to please God. And it doesn't matter if people don't like me or don't approve of me. I just want to please God. There was a moment in my life when I was, and Tanya knows this, I was so offended or upset that my mom would not support me. She grew up, she raised me to be a Christian. She prayed that I would be maybe a preacher or a singer like she is. And every time I would tell mom, Mom, this is what God is doing. Mom, this is what God is doing. Mom's like, oh, whatever, you know. You guys are not dressed right. Yeah, you know, she would throw something in and I'd be so upset and frustrated. Why isn't my mom supporting me? How many of you have been there? Most of us, come on. Why aren't they supporting me? And I remember a moment when I was driving from my mom's house, my dad's house. My dad is better, you know, he's not so emotional. And I was leaving my mother's house, and in my heart I felt, wow, I love God more than my mom. And that's when I was free from that. And now I just go to my mom's house. I don't care what she says to me. See, when you expect people to treat you a certain way and they don't, you feel like they treat you bad. But if you don't expect anything, you're like, oh, they treat me pretty good, yeah. Take care of our children, babysitting, and you know. And that's what God is doing. And a lot of us, we want to run from that. We want to run and we want to, you know, we want to, in our growth group, listen, in our growth group, we were studying. And Jesus, before he started his ministry, he was provoked by his brothers to appear on the scene, ministry scene, before his time. So his brothers were saying, well, if you're such a miracle worker, because obviously Jesus was doing miracles before he appeared on the scene. And his brothers were saying, if you're such a miracle worker, why don't you show off? Why don't you get out of this loneliness? Why don't you get out of this being covered? You know, there's times in our life when we are covered by God. And no matter how you do, what you do, how stressed out you get, doesn't matter if you cuss or not, you know, you're just covered. You see what I mean? You're just covered. And Satan wants to push you somewhere ahead of your time. So like he did to Jesus, he says, you know, if you jump off the temple and if angels catch you, if you don't hit your foot against the stone, they'll know you're Jesus. They'll know you're somebody. And that's just to provoke you to walk out of your time. That's where it comes from. Wrong place at the wrong time. I was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. Why? Because you believe the lie of the devil. Because if you're walking in step with God, you'll be at the right place at the right time. Even when those things that don't look as good. Because Bible says all things work together for good to those who love. All things. At the right place. You're at the right church at the right time to hear the right message, to sing the right songs. But Satan will say, no. You, if you are walking with God, you are at the right place at the right time. And Paul says, be content with what you have at the time that you have it. But maybe you're not walking with God. Then you got bigger issues. See what I mean? So God will separate you. You know that Jesus experienced loneliness.
in the Garden of Gethsemane.
He's like, he was speaking to his friends, disciples. He's like, please stay up with me a little bit. Pray with me so we do not fall into temptation. And they're just sleeping. And he's alone, forsaken. He knows what's going to happen to him in about an hour or two. People of God, Paul was in prison. But Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. While Paul is in prison, he's writing books of the Bible. Two-thirds of New Testament. Most of it in prison. That's amazing. So, last week's message was, don't reject the loneliness that comes from God. Loneliness that result of a pride. 1 John 2:16. If you want to be a leader somewhere, you're going to be lonely. You are going to be lonely. That's just part of it. Okay? So I just want you to know that. Loneliness that is a result of pride. So not all loneliness that we experience is from God. There is also loneliness that comes from pride. For all that is in this world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life, it is not from the Father, but it is from this world. Okay? So there's three things that the Bible says that's in this world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life. Okay? Loneliness that pride produces is my message. And a person can never say that I don't have an issue with pride. You can never claim, let's say you can say, I don't have a problem with pornography anymore. I don't have a problem with drugs anymore or alcohol anymore. But we can never say this statement like, I don't have a problem with pride. Because Bible says everything that's in this world is boastful pride of life. It's like saying, I don't have any sin in my life. Jesus actually challenged the leaders of religious leaders of the day and said, if you don't have a sin, cast the first stone. And none of them did. If I say that I have no sin, that means I'm a liar. So Christianity is not being sinless. It's being righteous. What's the difference? There's a big difference. When we are Christian, we don't become sinless, we become righteous. We just have a right standing with God. I'm not trying to act sinless, because I can never be sinless, and you can never be sinless, even if you're a Christian. But you can be righteous. And you know how we become righteous? By faith in Jesus Christ. It's called the Great Exchange. This is it. Jesus came to this earth and lived a perfect, righteous life. And they killed him for my behalf, for your behalf. And that's what Martin Luther calls the Great Exchange. That's where your sins and my sins are taken from us and put on him, and he's put on a cross. And his righteousness, perfection, and holiness is put back on us. So when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Because we're not sinless, we're just righteous. We have a new creation put on us. Amen? Hallelujah. So we can never say, I don't have any sin. We can never say that I'm perfect by myself. I'm just righteous in God. Now, pride will keep a person from enjoying life to the fullest. Let me give you a story. We were visiting my nieces in Minneapolis the other day, and I was there with my wife and my kids, and interesting thing, one of my nieces came to me and said, and was sitting upset. I'm just sitting there, you know, on a couch, you know, there's nothing to do in my mother-in-law's house. I mean, you just sit there and eat. Well, you can eat. I mean, I swear, we started with breakfast, kept eating till lunch, then kept eating till dinner. And so I went to sit on a couch because I'm like, if I'm going to sit on a table when I'm in my mother-in-law's house, I can gain 4 or 5 pounds. And what happened was, and my niece came over to me, and she's sitting there all upset. And I'm like, hey, how you doing, Jessica? I'm like, why aren't you playing with the rest of the kids? And she's like, well, now they love Abby more than me. And my daughter's name is Abby. And Abby doesn't go there except, you know, maybe 2-3 times a year, you know. And she's like, Philip is playing. I guess she's favorite now. And she's giving me that, and she's 6 years old, give me that attitude, you know. And she's sitting upset there. I guess she's loved and favorite now. I'm like, why do you say that? Well, because they're not playing with me like normal. Philip is playing more with Abby. And I'm just sitting there. This girl is sitting depressed. 6-year-old. Because she feels a little bit not a center of attention. And I said, listen, how much time do you spend at grandma's house? She's like, almost every day. And I tried to explain. I'm like, how can I, you know, express it to her? That she's not, you know, not liked anymore because Abby is here. I'm trying to preach to her, 6-year-old, you know. And I'm like, okay. I said, Jessica, you're here every day, right? And then Philip plays with you every day. It's like you getting presents every day. But Abby is here only one day in 3 months. So when Abby comes, he's trying to give her as many presents as you get every day. Oh, she's like, yeah, Philip gave me birthday present, blah, blah, blah. And she just forgot about that. And you know, presents, you know, 6-year-old. And I want to dedicate this message to Jessica. Because as I was sitting there, the message came to me. Loneliness that comes from pride. And even little babies, we are born into sin, Bible says. We were conceived in sin, David says. Some historians and theologians tell us that David might not be a legitimate son of Jesse. He could have been a son of sin. That's why his father forgot about him. When prophet came to anoint a new king, his father got 7 sons and forgot David. Why? Maybe he was ashamed of him. And maybe David was born to a different mother. Same father, but different mother. Tells you God can use anybody. Because David was actually despised by his brothers. You know, as soon as he became this Goliath slayer, they stopped liking him. They started hating him, actually. And he cries through his Psalms, and he says, my brothers have forgotten me. My family turn away from me. My mother and father turn away from me. And a lot of times God does that to become center of your life. Devil, Satan wants you to be the center of life. God wants him to be center. And if we are trying to always be center of our life, center of attention, center of friendships, we will be disappointed. Because sometimes people will want to do something else than what we want to do. And the pride will tell us, oh, I'd rather be alone than be with them. I'm not going to give up my opinion. You see what I mean? Pride can produce loneliness. And pride is sin. And we all got it. So don't be mad when God reveals to you that He's not the center of your life yet. That you are the center of your life. And it's a miserable life to live and be a center or try to be a center of your own life. You're not the best. You're not the most beautiful. You're not the richest. And that's okay. Because our identity doesn't have to be built around of who we perceive to be or make ourselves to be or dress ourselves to be. Our identity should be centered around who we are in Him. Yeah. That's why there's so many depressions and people feel lonely, and not because of God is doing it. And can I tell you the truth? I know this is not so positive and encouraging, but this is the truth. God is trying to switch our center and make Him our center. And if He's our center, that's something, how do I say, when I stop focusing on myself and focus on Him, my life becomes really better. A lot of people try to, and this is pretty interesting because we could make environment our centeredness. I'm such an environment person. We can make our clothes be our centeredness. Look who I am. We can even make helping people be our centeredness. It's not that we love them. It's just they give us praise when we help them. Yeah, help me out here. If it's not done out of true love, it's done to please ourselves. It's done to fulfill ourselves. Every one of you have to ask yourself a question. Why do I do this for other people? Why do I act nice? Why do I throw a dollar into children's hospital? That's, you know, those boxes in a gas station? A lot of times it's because we want to cover our sins. It's like that dollar we throw in, or a quarter. We say a dollar, but it's really just a quarter. Or it's only a few pennies. You know, at McDonald's, they have those things where you throw in and then you feel, well, that should cover for my sins. Catholics go and do the absolution thing at confessional. We throw, Protestants, we throw a quarter in a collection box in a gas station and we feel, just want to feel good. We got to reexamine. Because if God is not our center, we're doing it for self. Even when we do good works, even when we give, it's all for self. It's going to help me feel. And that's why what we're doing here is we're learning how to be less self-centered and God-centered. Amen. I learned a lot from my niece. We could be miserable because we're so self-centered. And a lot of times we disguise it. And see, pride could manifest itself even in things like self-pity. Nobody loves me. Nobody wants to do what I want to do. Why do everybody always listen to that girl, not me? Why does always everybody get recognized at work and not me? Victimization. And all it is pride. I'm so shy. I don't have pride. I'm shy. It's still pride. Let me explain it. Shyness is still pride because what it is, I don't want to say nothing bad because what if people don't like me? Still all about me. I'm trying to protect something. And shyness is that wall that we build so people don't get to who we really are. And a lot of times when you get too close to the big person who is very quiet, I'm not here to talk about quiet people, but I'm going to tell the truth, right? It's not everybody, but it's somebody. It's not you. It could be your neighbor. So selfishness could be this wall. Some people build this aggressiveness as a wall to hide the pain inside. Sometimes it could be shyness. I'm just hiding myself for who, what I really am on the inside. But all it is just pride. Because the only way we can drop pride and go to true love is take the center of attention from us and put it on something bigger than us. And that's Jesus Christ. And I'm not there yet, but I'm going there. I hate sometimes what my flesh does. Egotistical. And have you ever been in a party and you are self-centered and nobody pays attention to you? Except yourself and then you become self-conscious. Maybe because I look bad. Why don't they like me? You see what I'm saying? We got a lot of work to do. The reason many Christians are stuck spiritually and don't grow anywhere. Because we even train their pastors not to offend us. Do you know that Jesus said, blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Meaning that his words are offensive, but blessed are those who don't get offended. And so a lot of us, pastors, we want to please our people because people speak with their feet and their wallets. And so we want to just don't preach these messages. But I'm so glad I'm not here for the paycheck. And so a lot of times we as pastors don't want to really touch, you know, subjects because it's going to challenge people. And people might get offended and go to another church. And we lose our tithe. We're not here for that, so don't even worry about that. But that's what happens. A lot of times people train pastors like that. But I don't want to be like that. I want to challenge you. Because that's when we grow. That's when we mature. You know when Jessica is going to grow? She is actually in a natural growth process. That's all it is. How is she going to act? Is she going to lock herself up, isolate herself, and be lonely? And be miserable and feel self-pity for herself? Or is she going to grow up? Because what is maturity? Would a true mature person act like that? Maturity doesn't act like that. Maturity would go, okay, you know, she's here for 2 days and she's going to be gone. I'm glad she's getting this attention. That's maturity, right? But immaturity says, they don't like me. Abby is special now. Jennifer is special, but I don't get that attention. Mature, grow up. Grow up. And I'm here to tell you that I know you might leave, but I'm going to tell you. And you know what? You can leave here, but you can't run away from God. You'll face with that issue over and over and over and over again until you deal with it. And then when you deal with it, you'll be free from it. Listen to me. Loneliness that comes from pride. And we are very proud people. We are. We are. We usually will not say it in your face. Try to challenge somebody in school, at work. They usually won't tell it to your face. But they'll leave and won't want to talk to you. Or they won't answer your phone calls. Or something like that. Listen, I'm the same way. Just like some of you do. As soon as I offend you and push your buttons, and instead of saying, oh, this is the area, really, we really get offended in those areas that are not surrendered to Jesus. That's all it is. We really get offended in the areas that are not truly surrendered to Jesus yet. Listen to me, I'm not here to offend you, but I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you, and saying, hey, listen, whenever you feel challenged, whatever you feel like, you know, lock up. Instead, look in yourself. Don't go find another group of people to drink with. You know what I'm saying? You know, just kind of slow down and say, okay, what is God saying to me? Am I truly lonely because it's God? Or am I truly lonely because of pride? What is it? Who is it? And usually it is pride. The interesting thing is that pride is such a dangerous thing. It leads to self-pity. And then self-pity leads us. And let me read you what I wrote. If self-pity is strong enough, the more inclined we are to reward ourselves with unusual treats. If self-pity is strong enough in us, then the more likely we're inclined to reward ourselves with unusual treats. See, what Satan is trying to do is isolate you. Imagine war, real war. Satan is such a crafty. He knows that if you are together with a lot of people, it's harder for him to destroy you. But if you are alone, if he can isolate you from everybody, from your battalion, he got you. He got you easy. And that's the goal. Loneliness is a dangerous thing. And the what he uses a victimized mentality. I'm so poor. Everybody's against me. Everybody hates me. And Satan's like, hey, yeah. Instead of saying, I got pride issue. Boy, I got pride issue. Man, I just can't be with people without controlling them. I just can't be in a group of people without them always taking my opinion and my advice. I just can't do it. Man, God, what is wrong with me? Why do I act the way I do? Help me out. Help me, give me a revelation so I can get out of this. Instead of doing that, you can act like a victim. Nobody loves me. Nobody likes me. And that all it is pride. And then you wonder, God, why aren't you helping me? Because the Bible says God resists the proud. It's like he's trying to go somewhere
And God is saying, no. God is resisting it.
God resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. And what is grace? That's that perfect timing. It's like everything is falling into place. Even when it's bad, it's still falling in its own place. He gives grace to the humble. And what happens is, when we walk into self-pity, it opens the door to sin in our life. That's when guys go into pornography. That's when we start, you know, allowing ourselves, even pastors. Sometimes pastors, because of their leadership, they feel alone. That's dangerous. Why? Because that opens the door. Nobody makes me feel like my secretary. My wife just doesn't understand me. I know this one great guy, great church, I mean amazing, just fell into sin with his secretary. And it's like, why do people do that? Because it's the victim. Satan turns that on you. Instead of saying it's your pride, you got issues to deal with. He says, no, it's everybody else. It's not you. It's not me. I do so much. I'm tired of being such a spiritually strong person. I deserve. And so what you do, you begin to, in your mind, allow yourself more. You tell people, no, you can't do that. But for yourself, you're like, well, I deserve it. Because look what kind of price I'm paying. Loneliness that comes from sin is very dangerous. And people of God, we have to recognize that. So what do? When we feel lonely because of sinful pride. And I'm not saying pride is a sin till you act on it, okay? The Bible says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. When you try exalting yourself, you will be humble. Jesus says, everyone who's trying to exalt himself will be humble. And he who's trying to humble himself will be humble.